Well, good morning, friends. Happy Friday to you. I pray that you are having an amazing morning thus far. And if not, it's Friday. So be encouraged. It's going to be a good day. We're heading into a beautiful weekend and know that God's going to do something incredible. And we're heading into Easter week. So that's always a blessing. It's I love Easter week and Monday, you know, Thursday and just, you know, Holy Friday. And what do they call that? Silent Saturday. And just all of those things I absolutely love. So we're looking into a great week. Of course, we are. Hey, good morning, Cheryl. Good morning, Tanisha. We are moving full steam ahead for our egg hunt, which is happening next Saturday, which thousands of people have already registered for. And I love a busy church. I love that Hope City Church is in a busy season right now. I think it shows that we are after God, after people, aiming to reach out and bless people and do everything that we can to make a difference and see heaven on earth. So coming out of two big weekends here with guest speakers and of course going into Easter and the egg hunt and all that, but we still need your help. So good morning, Tracy. This Saturday between 8 and 12, we're going to be gathering at the church to begin to make preparation for the egg hunt, which involves snapping Easter eggs closed and filling bags of candy and sorting different prizes and doing all kind of stuff to get ready. So if you are able to stop out the entire time or 15 minutes anytime at Hope City between 8 and 12, it would be a blessing to us. So if you can do that, please come. We would appreciate it greatly. But are you ready to hop into the Word this morning? We are going to do our final teaching intake, whatever you want to call it, teaching on the blessing. And next week, we're going to go through some special Easter things, talking about the resurrection and different things to get our hearts really ready and prepared for Easter. But I was praying this week, and I thought, Lord, how do we wrap up this two-week series on discovering the blessing and talking about the blessing and what it means to our lives and how it impacts us. And he spoke to me, but sometimes God, it's like you spoke to me late last night. So it's like, God, why couldn't you give it to me earlier? But he does it when he does it. So we understand. I mean, if you're just tuning in, we've been talking for 2 weeks about the blessing, what it is. We understand that God, the first thing he did after he created mankind, good morning, Haley, is he blessed them. He blessed them. First thing. So we understand that God's heart for humanity, his heart for his people, is to bring blessing on them. And then we see that in the Old Testament, he establishes a covenant with Abraham that it says Abram, you know, at that point was Abram and switched to Abraham as a result of the covenant. It said, I'm going to bless you. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply. Your descendants will possess the gates of their adversaries. But goes through a whole list of blessings that will come on Abraham and his descendants, that they'd be blessed in the field and blessed in the valley, that the cattle would be blessed. Everything they put their hands to do would be blessed. He was really driving home the point that, Abraham, I want to bless you. Everything about you will be blessed. And long story short, everything about you will be blessed, right? And then we read scriptures like Galatians, in Galatians where 3:13, where he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse on the cross so that we might receive the blessing of Abraham, that it might come on the Gentiles. So we see that on the cross, God took the blessing that he originally gave to Adam. He made a covenant with Abraham to give him. And then he said, you know what? Because of the cross, this blessing will not just be for Abraham and his descendants, but can be for the Gentiles, which is you and I, as well. As long as we are in Christ, we would receive the blessing. So that's where we've been hanging around a little bit. So just to catch you up. So we've been figuring out, what does covenant mean? How do we walk in the blessing? How do we receive the blessing? What does the blessing look like in our lives? And it's been really, really, really powerful. But the blessing has been God's idea from the beginning. We understand that blessing comes from covenant. We don't earn it. We receive it by faith. Ephesians 3:9, so then those who are of faith. Remember, we've been talking about that. Faith is the key that reaches in the supernatural, the same as you receive forgiveness. Faith reaches in and pulls it into the natural. So those of you who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith, right? So there it is. Those of us who are of faith have that ability to believe that we've received something even before we see it, are blessed along with Abraham. There's that covenant that God established with Abraham that he wanted to give us. So the curse is removed for those who receive it by faith. And now instead of the curse, we receive blessing. Amen. But what I want to close this whole thing up with is, remember, he looked at us and he almost said, hey, blessing, like he named us, blessing, I will bless you. I want to dare say, let me read this to you. Genesis 12:2. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. I believe God's original intent was that we would not just be blessed to be blessed, but we would be blessed so that blessing could flow through us to other people. The blessing is not meant to stay, it is meant to flow. The blessing is on us so that we can be a blessing to other people. So what I want to talk to you today is, how do we impart this blessing to other people? Remember, I've been teaching you that the curse, the earth is still cursed. The ground is still cursed. The world is still cursed. Many believers, because of a lack of faith and understanding, that's why he said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Many believers, I wouldn't say are cursed, because when you come to Christ, you're redeemed from the curse, but they still operate under the curse because they don't have this understanding that the blessing is available for them, or they've heard it and they just say, well, that's prosperity preaching, or that's too good to be true, and they reject it, right? And it's almost like rejecting forgiveness. I didn't do anything to earn it. I'm not the one who wrote it in the book. I'm not the one who established the covenant. Christ did. So if he did it and thought I should receive it, I'm just going to take it regardless of how I feel about it, right? So the world is still cursed, the earth is cursed, and many believers are still operating under the curse because of a lack of knowledge. So we still see all this curse around us, but we are walking as children of light in the midst of that curse. We're walking as blessing in the midst of that curse. Remember what he said, everything you put your hands to do is blessed. Everywhere you go is blessed. Come on, I've been teaching you that. Your business is blessed. Where you work is blessed. Your apartment complex is blessed. The favor of God is all over that rental property. The favor of God is over that dealership when you walk in. Like I heard somebody say years ago, and it always stuck with me. I've shared this a bunch of times, but they said, you know, I won't go eat at a Chinese restaurant because they have a little Buddha statue on the counter, and I don't want any of that stuff to jump off on me. And I looked at him, I said, listen, they've got good chicken and broccoli up in here. That's the only Chinese food I eat, wonton soup and chicken and broccoli. And I said, listen, when I walk in, every demon of hell runs out screaming. I'm not worried about it jumping off on me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. They see me coming and they go fleeing seven ways. Remember, that was a part of the blessing, right? That when the enemy comes against you, he will flee in front of you seven ways. I'm blessed. But there's that nature. I shared that story to say, listen, when you understand what you walk around with, that the Spirit of God, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, dwells on the inside of you, that the blessing, like I taught you yesterday, is kind of like that nuclear reactor, that nuclear energy on the inside that's moving and breathing, and it's emanating light and power and substance from you. Like it's just in there pulsating. It's the blessing, right? Like I can walk into a cursed ground and the ground will start to produce. Not because of me. It's because of the blessing is on me, right? Like I can walk into an idol-ridden place, and when I walk in, the Spirit of God walks in. The blessing of God walks in. Demons flee when I walk in. Why? Because it's the power of God that dwells mightily on the inside of me. It's the nature of God dwelling on the inside of me. So when I understand who I am and what I'm walking around with and what God has enabled me to be, and, you know, my mindset shifts on, you know, really fear, and that's what we talked about yesterday, is that, listen, it can be cursed when I arrive, but when I'm on it, that thing's blessed. Again, it's not out of pride, it's out of covenant. Not out of pride, out of covenant. So because everything we put our hands to is blessed, I believe that we have the ability to impart blessing onto people, onto land, onto business, onto endeavors, onto children. We can impart blessing as a result of being in covenant with Jesus. The blessing is on us, and we can impart that blessing. So that's what I want to talk to you today about, is how do you impart blessing? Well, number one, by speaking it. The most powerful blessings are often spoken aloud. We see this in Numbers 6. We can see this in Deuteronomy 28. But we understand that we were created in the image of God back in the garden. And God, when he wanted to create and he wanted to impart and he saw something and wanted it to come in, what did he do? He stood on nothing, spoke a word, and that word had creative power and ability, and it started to produce whatever it was that he spoke. So I believe one of the greatest ways that we can impart blessing into the lives of other people is by speaking it, by verbally blessing them. Let me just ask this question, and I'm asking it to me. When was the last time that you laid hands on your spouse, on your children, your grandchildren, your sister, whatever, and just laid your hands on them and just say, hey, I want to bless you in the name of Jesus? Because what we've been talking about is that the blessing is that force that empowers us to prosper in every area of life. It empowers us to prosper in every area of life. It's one of the greatest attributes that we have, walking in the kingdom of God. What a powerful thing to impart that, impart blessing onto somebody else, right? So I ask, when, and I'm speaking to me, I can't tell you, you know, when is the last time that I stopped my kids and I said, listen, as your father, as the priest of our home, as a carrier of the blessing, I want to lay my hands and I want to speak blessing over you. And we're going to get into laying in hands on hands in just a second, but to speak blessing. You know, I have to give my son Jeremiah so much credit because, you know, just the our life and how it is and the chaos of our home sometimes with four kids, it can get pretty intense sometimes, right? And it can be so good, you know, and sometimes we're coming to sit down to eat dinner, and in the process of that, you know, one kid's screaming, they don't want that drink, the other ones don't want dinner, the other one, you know, whatever. And in the minute of it, I was like, I just want to check out, right? Like my phone's in front of me and I just want to check out because this is a lot. And my son, Jeremiah, he always is the faithful one. Hey, Dad, how was your day? And it's like, oh yeah. Thanks, buddy. Phone down. Hey, my day was pretty good. Tell me how your day was. Hey, Judy, how was your day? And we engage in conversation and we, you know, but sometimes I say sometimes we go through life be stressed out and there's so much going on that when was the last time we stopped and said, you know what? I want to verbally bless you. I want to affirm the attributes, the God-given attributes that you have. I want to bless you with my words. I want to confirm the call of God on your life. I want to remind you who you are. Like I was at a worship center this past week for a pastor's thing, and they had a psychologist there, and I wish I could remember her name because it was very, very good, and I want to get her on the network at some point. But anyway, she was talking about you know, childhood trauma and all that, and she was speaking about how she did a podcast and had some people calling in and was kind of comparing just where people were born And she said like 80% of the people who were struggling in this one area were firstborns. And it was because firstborns, and I get it, I'm a lastborn, so I don't struggle in that area, but I can see it in my firstborn kid, is, you know, they're older. So it's like, Jeremiah, help them. Jeremiah, do this. They have this overwhelming sense of responsibility. The weight of the world is on their shoulders. They're usually high achievers because of that, you know, like they, and she was talking about some of the pitfalls in that. And then she was saying how the number one thing that she was seeing in people coming in with childhood trauma is wasn't even absentee mothers. It was frazzled mothers. And she said that, and I thought, wow. And I'm not putting that on Sarah. I said, I got to help Sarah more in the mornings, because, you know, she as a mom, she takes the brunt of it, and she's doing this and doing that. And, you know, I'm not. So I thought, I got to help her so that she's not as frazzled, because we don't, my point in sharing that with you is not to put down any frazzled moms, is to call dads. We got to do more. And Sarah, you didn't tell me you were watching. She just commented, amen. I thought she wasn't watching today. Shoot. Anyway, but we got to do more. But I say that to say, in, we don't always underestimate the power of our words, even in speaking to our children, and how that makes our children feel. When we say things like, you always are in the way, you are always bothering your sister, we are speaking an identity into them. I said this before, but, you know, we you know, from a young age, we tell our children that a fat guy in a red suit comes down the chimney at night and delivers presents to the entire world. And guess what? They believe us. We teach our children that a little fairy comes through the window and takes their tooth that has a weird tooth fetish and leaves them money for it. Like, they believe us, right? So from a young age, there's this trust in what a parent or somebody in authority over them says about them. I can't tell you the stories that I have heard of people who struggled because a teacher said something over them, or succeeded because a teacher looked at them and took the time and said and affirmed, wow, you have a gift. And that word spoken over them changed the course of their life, because it was somebody in authority saying something or affirming something. Like, I will never forget learning to play piano. I was 8 years old, and they had asked me to start leading worship. And I'll give them a shout out. This is that Crown of Life and the church I grew up in. And they started asking me to lead worship in kids' church when I was eight. And I took my keyboard and I was, you know, singing these songs. And I looked at Pastor Gretchen. She was the co-pastor of the church, but she also led worship. And I remember watching her lead worship and just was, you know, attracted to the call of God and the anointing, and was like, wow, like, this is so cool. And watching her do that, and I will never forget the Wednesday night after church when she came up and handed me a piece of music that had the chords on it of a new song that they were singing. And I was floored, because this like worship leader idol like knew that I was leading worship and handed me this piece, and it meant the world to me. I remember rushing home and like, wow, this is like a real chord sheet, and learning those songs. And it affirmed something on the inside of me as a young person learning worship. And it was something, because it was somebody in authority over me, somebody that I looked up to, affirmed a gift or a call that was on the inside of me. And that word of affirmation, that action of affirmation, affirmed and kept me and did so much for my identity. So I, again, I'm saying all that to say is, I believe we can be imparters of the blessing. And I'm saying we have to really, really, really protect the culture in our home, the culture around our dinner table, the culture and what we're saying to our children, what we're saying to our spouses, all of that, because what we are saying carries weight, right? We are blessed. We can be a blessing. We can impart blessing. Everything we put our hands to do should be blessed. Mamas, when you're making that dinner and you're touching that food and you're putting those plates out, you know, you are imparting blessing. Come on, daddies, when you're putting the wash in, right? And doing the laundry, this is a word of encouragement for you to do that. You know, you're blessing that clothing that they're putting on their black back. And that might seem like a strange thing to you, but listen, My mama was one of the greatest Christians that I know and have ever known. And there was something about her room. There was a peace in it. She was a prayer warrior. It's where she prayed. And there was something about God in her room. Like it was tangible. It was tangible, right? And so I believe that, listen, even when you're folding your children's laundry, when you're putting their dishes on the table, you are imparting blessing by literally what you touch. So we speak blessing. So I would encourage you to make it a practice to stop every once in a while, look at your children in the face and say, hey, yeah, Cheryl, so you're doing it while you knit. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's the blessing that transfers in that. I would encourage you to stop and look at your loved ones, look at your children, look at your spouse, and just say, hey, I want to affirm A, B, and C. I want to affirm that, you know what, you are a great child. You are smart. You are so kind. I saw when you picked that thing up on the floor, and I just want to tell you, I appreciate that because that's who you are. You are that kind of person. And I bless you. I bless you. I bless you in Jesus' name. Anything good that's on the inside of me, I impart to you and bless you in Jesus' name with that good thing. I'm going to tell you, when you start doing that to your children, when you start doing that to your spouse, it will change their lives. Again, like I said, it's like that nuclear reactor on the inside, and we're just imparting it. So really guard and shield over what you're saying to your kids. I've been challenged with, even when I discipline my children, you know, by having a conversation with them that says, listen, Daddy does not want to do this, but what you did isn't right, and it's not who you are. I know this isn't who you are. So I have to discipline you, but I know this isn't. Again, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to not come at them and saying, you always have an attitude. You're always saying this. What am I doing? I'm just affirming negative activity. I'm speaking into existence bad patterns and bad processes of life. Hey, Sue, good morning. Good to see you. But when I can affirm the blessing and I can affirm and say, you know what? This isn't who you are. This is not you. I've raised you. I know you're a good kid. I know you are smart. I know you are kind. I know you look for the underdog and to help them out. I know that's not that. That's the real you. What am I doing? I'm blessing them with my words. So be very, very, very intentional. There will be a day, parents. There will be a day, grandparents. There will be a day, brothers and sisters, where you will not be on this earth. And what will be left and what they will remember is what you spoke to them. Like, I have a funny story, and my sister would probably get so mad. So I won't tell you what sister it was, but when my mom was getting ready to go to heaven, we all sat in the living room, and she's kind of going around affirming, you know, kind of giving her last word, so to speak, to everyone. And she's saying this over this person and this over that person. And she skipped over me. I won't hold a grudge, but that's all right, Mom. But we were close. I know how she felt. But anyway, she looked at one of my sisters and she said, wow, your fingers are getting pretty thick. Like, literally her fingers. She goes, you want to be careful about that. And like, it was like this weird thing, like, okay. So we often tease that sister about, wow, your fingers are looking pretty thick today. Like, you know, because it was like that one lasting moment, Mom, that you had to impart something. And she was really drugged up at that point when medicine. So, you know, sometimes you're just not all there and stuff's coming out. But my point is when what I, you know, when my parents passed, one of the things that, that really struck me is that, like, you so hoped a letter would arrive in the mail afterwards, because it was like, what was said. Like, I will never hear anything else from them again. And I say that to us as we need to always remember that, that what we are saying to our spouses and our children and our friends and our coworkers, like, there will be a day where that's it. So how much more should we be leaning in to blessing people verbally and affirming people verbally, not tearing them down, not pointing out their faults, but call, like, the world is doing that. Like, I don't need to come in and say, hey, you know what? Your hair's looking off today. Hey, your fingers are kind of chubby. You know, the world is going to do that automatically. The world is right there. That, you know, the devil is right there. Their own mind is right there staring at them in the mirror saying, this is wrong and that is wrong. You can't do this. You can't do that. What they will remember and what will change someone's life is when you, as a teacher, as an educator, as a grandparent, as a parent, step in and say, listen, I see the call of God on your life. I remember being a kid and I didn't have, you know, when my mom had gotten married to my stepdad, he was very abusive and I was really struggling. And I remember my mom used to do this outreach ministry to nursing homes. And she would go into the nursing homes dressed as a clown and minister to the people and sing songs or whatever. And sometimes I'd go with her. I was pretty young. And I remember this older lady in a wheelchair coming up to me. And she must have been a believer, but she came up to me and I hadn't done anything. I just played the piano for my mom while she was singing. And I was probably 12 years old, but she had come up to me and she said, I want to tell you, the call of God is all over you. And I'm going to see your name in the papers one day about what God is doing in your life. I am so excited. I won't be alive to see it, but I see it now. And I am so excited. And I'm staring like, I don't know this lady from anywhere. I'm just in a nursing home and you're in a wheelchair. Like, but what I was going through in that season of life, her words of prophecy, her words of affirmation to me changed everything for me. It reminded me in a very, very dark season of life that that's not who I was. Wasn't going to, you know, the bad things that were happening wasn't going to be my story, but that the call of God and there was something greater. And so I remember that. And I think here's this, you know, probably 80, 90-year-old woman in a wheelchair in a nursing home who her words changed the course of my life. So who are we passing? Who are we walking by in the grocery store? Who's sitting at our dinner tables struggling? And we have the power to impart blessing. Impart blessing. Affirm the call of God. Speak what is good. Affirm what is good. Affirm the great things that are happening. I remember when we started, and I'm just using my stories from my own life, but I remember when we started the Hope City Church, and you know, I think our first Sunday what we started, we had almost 200 people show up. The second Sunday was like 100, and then the third Sunday was like 60. Like, it's just, which is common when you start a church. But I remember I had to go back and do a funeral for the church that we had left, and for a lady named Eva May. Some of you know Eva May. And I remember kind of just being nervous, you know, going back to that church and seeing different people and the questions of how this is the church going. And, you know, well, you know, our attendance is going the opposite way, you know. But I remember, never forget, Eva May Christ's son came in, and he had known we started a church because I, you know, I was pretty close with Eva May, and was, you know, she knew our journey. And here I'm there to do music for his mom's funeral. But I never forget him coming in the back door of the sanctuary, and I'm nervous to be there. And I never forget his words to me, and he walked up and started yelling like across the sanctuary. There he is. There's that new pastor starting the best thing that's ever happened in Lancaster County. I bet you are shaking Lancaster County to its core. And, you know, he's like, get up here, give me a handshake. And I remember like the tension and the weight and the nervousness just melting off of me. And I wasn't even close with him. I, you know, maybe talked with him twice in my entire life, but I never forget how he made me feel in that moment. And I remember walking out and saying, I want to be that to people. I want to be that to, like, anybody could come in. Well, why did you leave? Why did you start a church? What's going on? How's it going? How's the attendance? He bypassed all that and affirmed we weren't shaking Lancaster County. Come on. I'm just saying, you know, but he was speaking to the potential. He was speaking to the call. He was affirming that blessed me. That blessed me. And I remember that to this day. And so I say to you, let's start being that to people. Let's start walking into the room and instead of nitpicking and calling things out, just saying, hey, man, there you are. I've been waiting all day to put eyes on you. I've been waiting to see you. Oh, me? Yes, you, right? Come on, husbands to wives, like, you didn't take out the trash again. You didn't do this again. I asked you to do this. You always, come on, let's walk in and change the atmospheres. Let's walk in and say, you know what? Affirm whatever it is that they do good. Affirm it, right? And then I guarantee they're going to start saying, you know what? I'm going to start taking the trash out. I'm going to start doing whatever it is. So let's be really, really good at blessing other people verbally. Number two is laying on of hands. Let's never forget the power. The scripture even talks about that the faith that was in the grandmother, the faith that was in the mother is the faith that is in you and was passed down by the laying on of hands. And the apostle said he was going to lay his hands on to stir up the gifts. So things can be transferred, not just verbally, but physically by laying on of hands. We can see that physical touch when Abraham blessed Isaac, Isaac blessed Jacob. Jesus laid hands on children. When children would come to Jesus, he would lay his hands on them and he would bless them. Remember, the blessing is that supernatural power to prosper in every area of your life. Acts 13:3. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Sent them off with what? The blessing. The empowerment to prosper in every area of your life. Be very cognitive that whatever my hands touch is blessed. Whatever my hands touch is blessed. Let's be very cognitive of that and realize that, you know, come on, give your kids a hug in the morning and bless them. Bless their day. Bless whatever they're doing. Walk into the room, lay hands on their room, bless their room, bless your home. Anytime we go on a trip with our kids, we make it a habit. We stop and we bless the trip. We bless the car. We command angels to be around our vehicles. I'm trying to teach my kids there's power in what we're laying hands on and what we're saying. We impart blessing. We are carriers of the blessing. And then number three, we impart blessing by living it out in front of other people. We live it out. We show it in our generosity. We show it in our peace. We show it in our joy. We show it in our victory. And when we live it out in front of other people, that is the greatest demonstration of the blessing. If you are walking around, and I listen, if you are walking around miserable and angry, not full of faith, not full of victory, and yet you're dragging your kids and grandkids to church, and they see you, you know, shouting down about victory and praise, but they're like, you, listen, as they get older, they're going to catch on to that. And here's what it's going to say, that what happens in the house of God has no translation into everyday life, that it's not real. Why? Because they're seeing it on a Sunday, but they're not seeing it lived out. So what I've been trying to do, and I'm not great at this, it's not like we live in some kind of spiritual dream world over here in the Epperly House. Trust me, we don't. What I'm trying to challenge myself is, like, for instance, last night, again, we're trying to protect the atmosphere, but Loretta was with me all day yesterday. And then Bob was with me as Sarah went to the kids' concert last night for school, and he was just a handful, and I was just maxed out. So, you know, Sarah comes home with the kids with Jeremiah, and Loretta's crying about something. I don't know what Bob was crying about. Like, he's crying and Jeremiah's trying to talk to me, and I snap back at him. Like, what, Jeremiah? What do you want? And he just said, nothing, never mind. And of course, sorry. But what I've been really trying to do is that I went to him and I said, hey, I want to tell you, I'm very sorry. I was stressed out because of the other kids. It wasn't your fault. And that's not an excuse. I shouldn't have yelled at you. And I am sorry. When we get it wrong, God wants us to make it right. What I'm trying to do is show my kids that what we're doing on Sunday and following Jesus, that it is lived out and it's impacting our everyday lives. What does it look like to apologize? What does it look like to acknowledge, I was wrong there? When we begin to live our faith out in front of our children, in front of our coworkers, right? We show them what it means to live a blessed life. I don't have to carry a guilt because I got forgiveness. I asked for forgiveness. I apologized, right? So we speak blessing. We lay hands to impart blessing. But most of all, we live blessed. We live blessed. I was watching a study, and it wasn't a Christian study, but they were talking about finances and teaching your kids that. And they did a study with parents who use the terminology, no, we can't afford that. And parents who just either said no when kids asked for something, or parents who, said, well, we got to save or do something else like that. And what the study showed is that parents who said, we can't afford that, their children were, and again, I should have all these numbers, but I didn't plan on sharing this today. But it was like 60-some% stayed in poverty, more than those, like they were all in poverty during this time, but 60% more stayed in poverty than those who weren't told we can't afford that. And so the lesson of that is instead of telling your kids, hey, we can't afford that, we should say, hey, we need to save for that, or that's not something we need right now, or just no. But when you're always saying, no, we can't afford that, we can't afford that, we can't afford that, what are we doing? And what I'm trying to teach us is the principle is we are affirming we can't afford it because we're poor. And so what is that building? They're building an identity is I'm poor. I can't afford that. I can't afford that. Well, listen, and maybe right now we can't afford that, but we know with God all things are possible. We know we can afford it if we save. We can afford it if we cut back somewhere else. We can afford it if we trust God. So figure out for your children, what is that? Well, you really want that? It's not that we can't afford it, but let's sit down and have a conversation and say, hey, what can we cut, to save up? And then if you really, really want it, like I've been trying to teach that to my kids, then I have some projects for you outside. You want to earn some extra allowance? Here's some things. If you really want that, you're going to save up for it. It's not that we can't afford it. It's that, A, are you willing to put in hard work for it? Are you willing to save for it? Or number three, let's trust God for it. Let's watch God do something really cool, right? So again, what Tanisha says, a friend taught me to say, I'm in between blessings instead of saying I'm broke. Come on, girl, that preaches. That's good. Tanisha, I feel like you're my co-preacher on here. You've been on fire lately. I'm just in between blessings right now. And the reality is, yeah, I mean, we may not have the money in the bank for that thing. But what I'm saying is that's exactly right. I'm just in between blessings right now. I will not take on the identity of an unblessed person. I will not take on the identity of a cursed person. I'm blessed and highly favored, right? So the blessing of God's on my life. Finances are flowing my way. The ground is producing for me. So if I got to save, or if I got to change my spending habits to be able to afford something, or I just got to ask God and trust Him for it, whatever that looks like in that situation, then so be it. But what I'm saying is what we say to our children affects them. What we verbally say and impart has great impact. Let's lay hands on our kids. Let's teach them to lay hands. Let's teach them when one of your kids get hurt, your grandkids get hurt, come on, we're going to lay hands because the Bible says that if we lay hands on the sick, He will heal them. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's lay hands. There's power in imparting blessing. Even as grownups, come on, you're praying for somebody in the church lobby. You're praying on somebody in the grocery store. Lay your hands on them. There's power in imparting blessings. Everything we touch is blessed. That's a part of the blessing, right? So let's get our hands and lay hands on people. And then let's live it out in front of other people. Well, you remember Moses, when he desired to bless the people of God. Listen to what he said. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Moses prayed, the Lord bless you. You know what he did? He imparted blessing. He imparted blessing. This is the last thing I'll share and then we'll get off. But I was walking up the church aisle a few months ago. And sometimes I have a habit of just walking up. And if I see somebody, just kind of pat them on the back, say good morning. And after service, somebody came up to me, tears in their eyes. And they said, you know, I want to let you know, when I watched you do that, just kind of pat somebody on the back, my old pastor, the church that they were at, made a purpose to do that. And he always taught that he was blessing people, like he was laying hands. And when I saw you do that, it just affirmed that maybe we're in a good house here, because I saw you doing that and blessing people. And I didn't really think about it as blessing. But when he said that, I thought, you know what? I was thinking about that scripture. We impart blessing with the laying on of hands. And just that little pat, that little tap is just bless you, brother. Bless you, sister. And this is Moses blessing the people. May the Lord bless you. May his face shine upon you. May he keep you. May he lift up your countenance and may he give you peace. Today, let's be imparters of the blessing. We're blessed so that we can be a blessing. The blessing flows. One of the reasons I love a busy church is I believe that that's when the anointing manifests. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor, for the recovery of the sight of the blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to comfort those who mourn. So the anointing is upon me for and to. Those are action words, for something or to do something. The anointing's not on me so I can just come to church and pray a little prayer and sing a little song and go home. The anointing doesn't manifest there. The anointing manifests when we're busy and we're active and we're reaching out and we're impacting people and we're changing lives and we're on mission. God's, what are we doing? We're saying, Lord, let us be carriers of the anointing. Let us be carriers of the blessing. Let our egg hunt and let our special services and let our outreach programs, let it produce the blessing. Let everything we do bless people. Let it impact the lives of people. Let everyone who steps on our ground and everyone who steps on our property and everyone who steps on the Gladfelder Memorial Field as we scatter eggs on it, let them be partakers of the blessing, not because of us, but because we are there and the blessing is on us. Let every delivery person who steps their foot onto your porch feel the presence of God and be convicted of sin and be drawn by the Spirit of God. Why? Because you live there and it's your ground and you are blessed and the blessing is there. Let every person you encounter in the grocery store receive blessing as a result of knowing you and encountering you and bumping their cart into you. What if we looked at every single inconvenience? Well, hey, I got to call the manager to check the price on that. And instead of getting angry on the inside and say, come on, I got places to go, maybe God's putting that manager in your path so that we can impart more blessing. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for this whole teaching on blessing and receiving the blessing. Father, let us not just turn this off, this series off, and forget about it. Let us remember, we are blessed. We are blessed in Jesus' name. We receive it, we walk in it, and today we work to impart the blessing, to give it out, to lay hands, to affirm through our words, to live it out. in the lives of people around us. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, thank you for being on with me. If you attend Hope City Church, I hope to see you Saturday for our preparation gathering. Sunday morning, of course, I've got a word in my spirit to release to you. But if not, I will see you back on here for a special Easter week series of Good Morning Lives. Thanks for being with me. You are blessed. So be blessed. Walk in the blessing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Go with God today.